Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, so much for this night. Father, we thank you just for the blessing of life, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, I just want to thank you. We thank you, Father God, that all that's going on, that you are in control, that you are with us, Father, that you lead and protect and you guide us, Father. And so, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for guarding our lives, Lord, and for protecting us. And Father, this night, even as we would open up your word, even as we would look at scriptures, even as we would talk, Lord, regarding truth, we invite, Lord, the Spirit of truth, your Spirit, to be with us this evening. Lord, we invite you to lead and guide, Father, the audio, Father, and the conversations. We just pray, Lord God, that your word would go forward, Lord, and just bless the lives of your people all over the world. And Father, even just this night, in our time here, we just invite the free flow of your Spirit. And Lord, I just get out of the way, and I just pray that you would have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Cool. Okay. So we've been finishing up a lot of series right now, mm-hmm. And so last week we. No, we haven't started. Last week what we did was we did a Q&A, and it actually ended up going like really long, so we didn't even start the next one yet.
Yeah.
Which is good, because that's part of it. So Andrew last week, he had a question, and he started with, he said, his question was just, how do you find the path? You know, where, you know, and where do we go? So it's this, and you know, it starts with the question. I mean, just the very fact that he asked the question, mm-hmm. is you're already partly on the way. Mm-hmm. You know, that's yeah. already like the beginning of the path, yeah. is actually asking. This was the scripture that came to mind on that one. It was in Matthew 7, mm-hmm. where Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, he said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. So, you know, how do you find the path? Well, first you got to ask, you know, and you got to ask the right person, which is God, and the people that are on that one, which, you know, who will probably point you to him anyways. You got to seek it, and if you do that, you'll find it. You got to knock whenever. So it's just like, but it's got to be a pursuit. So this life, and the life that we live here it's a journey, and so it is a pursuit. It's a path, but it begins with those questions. So. I remember when I was I can't even remember. It's just been, I think several times I've heard just, you know, question everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's true. Yeah. I mean, because it's like even if you open it up like that, mm-hmm. God can handle your questions. It's not a big issue for him. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but you allow him to do that. Even when you start something like that, you're like, okay, how do you find the path? You put it to him, mm-hmm. and you're like, God, how do I find the path? You know, so because that, it has to be real for you. It has to be real for me individually. It can't be experience is based on somebody else's. It's never really mine. And you know, that kind of goes into, where do we go? Well, the kingdom is where? When they asked him, they said, they were asking Jesus, they said, you know, when will the kingdom come and all of this? And he said, you know, look not here and there. The kingdom is where? So where do we go?
It's all about timing as well, though. I mean, it says ask and seek.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also when Jesus said, when they said, where's the kingdom? And he says, the kingdom is within. Mm-hmm. He says, the kingdom is within you. So it's not necessarily we talked about it being a spiritual kingdom before.
Yeah.
That the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a matter of eating and drinking, but of power and the Holy Spirit. But it's a spiritual kingdom that was started in Christ Jesus. Now, but also that kingdom, where does it take you? Well, where does the Spirit of God reside?
In the heart.
He resides within you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's also this, though he's without, he's also within. And so the kingdom of God, what it does is it takes us, if you're on that path with him, where are you going? Well, you're going deeper and deeper within. It's kind of like the onion. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your life and you are this onion.
Mm-hmm.
And as you continue to walk on this path with him, what he does is he'll take you past layer and layer and layer of who you even are.
Yeah.
And as that just keeps getting peeled away,
mm-hmm.
eventually when you get to the core, the only thing that's left is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's what ends up being manifest. That's what the process that we're coming through, if you turn your life over to him, it's, oh gosh, wait, let me find this in Proverbs today. All the scriptures are coming back now that I should have marked. I did mark some other stuff, but Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light, and shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So, the path of the just. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So that way, and for those that are on that way, you shine more and more. Well, why is it shining more and more? Because there's less and less of us.
Yeah.
See, we in and of ourselves, no flesh will glory in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
We in and of ourselves, apart from him, are cloudy, muddled, in darkness, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
As you walk with him, it strips away us.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're left with is him.
Mm-hmm.
So like John said, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, that was also part of the process.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just, you know, this external, you know, his relationship to the people of Israel at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also just, look, I need more of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need more of him in my life. I need to get out of the way too. So it's this process, it's this path that we walk on. So kind of, you know, if you have to pull a title for tonight, it's, I think this all kind of fit together,
mm-hmm.
call it cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, when, if you just look for effects, see what happens, and this is again a trick of the world. The world that we live in, it focuses on effects. It focuses on results.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the truth of the matter is, you want to cut down to what's the root of what's really going on. What are the causes? So, and then you start going through scripture and you see this over and over and over again in different places. The wise man digs deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know a tree by its fruit. You know, the fruit is what? It's just the manifestation of the core of what that is, the root of what that is. If it didn't have those roots producing and pulling all of that out, those nutrients and bringing that, you would have no fruit. So it may be defined by its fruit, but that's not the cause. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against Ephesians 6. Powers and authorities, spiritual wickedness, high places, that's the cause of what we're experiencing. But the effects is what people focus on. And so, also what happens too is people get stuck on trying to deal with the effects and they never deal with causes. Does that make sense? So what So for example, if somebody gets sick, and when somebody gets sick, they want a pill to make it all go away. Well, why did you get sick? You know, what was the cause of it? You know, if you don't know the cause, you can take a pill that makes you worse.
Just always looking for a solution.
Yeah, but they want immediate results, yeah, without dealing with, you know, maybe it's just bad diet. Yeah. Oftentimes it's just really bad diet. Or maybe it's lack of exercise. Yeah, or you could just go down this list of causes that resulted in the effect. So, you know, you can't really learn if you're only focusing on the effects. So like for when people like, you know, it's interesting too, because I think when you're younger you get away with a lot more. So you can, I mean, I had friends in college that, you know, when they, they live pretty fast lives. Mm. And, you know, you really couldn't tell at that time because it hadn't really taken its toll on them. But, you know, I had like a 10-year high school reunion, you know, when I was back in the States.
Very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
And some people just look great.
Yeah.
Some people are just like, did you get hit by a truck?
Yeah.
I was like, what happened?
Age like 28.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you're just like, wow.
I think it's because you're young. When you're younger, you think, oh, it's a time to experiment, so I can get away with anything, even just drugs and, you know, things like that.
Well, but it has
an excuse.
Yeah, no, it ends up like down the line, you see the effects of it.
Yeah.
But there really is a cause that's, you know, so it's really, even with all of this stuff too, so then you bring it down to a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually everything does have its foundation in spirit. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Easy one. So Romans 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, death is an effect. It's not the cause. So the cause is sin. So when people are all obsessed about death and dying and all of this stuff, it's something that is a result of, a manifestation of sin. And even with sin, what does sin do? Well, it cuts you off from what? The source of life. And so God is life. It's like, if you don't remain in Him, if a man doesn't remain in John 15, if a man doesn't remain in me and my words in him, he'll be like a branch that's cut off, withers and dies. So you have that. Basically all it is it just took a little while to catch up with you. But, you know, there's that death that takes place. Everybody's body dies. But there's a spiritual death, because the world of spirit is real. So the effect of it is that when it does actually end up hitting, people are like, oh wait, well, what's that? But, you know, wait, what do you mean, what's that? You know, you're not connected to life. So but yeah, if you have to start looking at what's going on behind the scenes, you know, and then actually the world also then starts to make more sense, because then you start not getting wrapped up in the effects of what's happening. So like, for example, this country, you know, when you know, everybody is obsessed about, you know, the economy and the war and all of those different things, but those are all effects, you know. What's the cause? So, and then you start to say, okay, let's dig down a little bit. Even on a natural level, what's the cause? But also, spiritually, what's behind it? Because then when you start to pray about something, then when you start to address an issue, the Spirit of God will reveal to you, this is what's really going on. So, I mean, like, it was the other night I was praying about some stuff and just kind of struggling with some stuff too. But then it was like God opened up the eyes of my spirit to actually see what the cause was behind this, like, you know, attack and oppression and this thing that I was feeling. Because it wasn't me, you know. So it's something that, so it's coming from somewhere else. And then you see where that is, and then when it's exposed, it's like, oh, okay, that's what it is. All right, cool. But then you see where the cause is, and then light is shown on what was going on. And then once you see it, then it's just like, okay, now the light's there, and then the whole thing falls apart. But you're in a spiritual battle.
Okay.
And so, and if you fight for truth, then you know you're going to start having those encounters. And having $400 repairs on your truck, and getting evicted from your place, even though you always pay your rent and everything else.
Yeah,
and it's like, so all of this stuff is going to happen. Joy.
I mean, this is one of my favorite verses. I think it's, I love it, but
which
it's
one?
Always, I mean, Matthew 7.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I often struggle with it because I think of like a timing factor, and I think, okay, Lord, I'm asking, and I know everything is in His timing, but that is really hard. You know, it's just like you tend to get impatient. It's like, okay, you've said this is your promise, but then how long do I wait? How long?
Well, and then sometimes too, maybe your whole life, because it's never been something that's been turned over to Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because see, also again, think about the onion. If you choose to stop at a certain layer, you remain there.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's part of what's hard, is that even in some of my own prayer, and even dealing with myself in my own life, it's like God continues to dig deep with you, continues to reveal what's going on inside of you, shows you your heart. And then, like, so He keeps doing that, and then eventually you come to this one part where you're like, yeah, you know, I didn't know that was in me, or that I was, you know, just like that I had just, you know, okay, like, the topic we've been talking about recently was forgiveness. And it's like, I mean, do you really forgive people? Or do you forgive yourself, you know, for stupid things that you've done? I mean, just, so it's like, do you, and then you start, and you really start allowing God to dig deep, and it's like, okay, yeah, you know what it says in the Bible, and you know what it says here, and you know what God, you know all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but are you stuck at that layer where you just haven't gone past that, where you've allowed and to really experience that aspect in your life, and it's like, and if not, you stay there. So, because otherwise, too, you know, I remember one time there was a friend of mine who was talking about, and this church was dying. And I think it's since dead, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But and they were all wondering about why, you know, it wasn't growing.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, and God had given him a word for these guys, and he's like, it's like God is not, it's like if God multiplies this place, He'll multiply a mess. It's like He's not going to bless something that's not walking with Him and not in line with Him, basically along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like even with us, you know, we may have, okay, yeah, we have desires, we have dreams, we have visions, we have things that, you know, you may hope for.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the call is leaving all of that at the foot of the cross and really before Him and dying, you know, with Christ, really going on that road so that you can actually truly live. And it's like, and unless you kind of go through that and then allow, and see, that only happens by work of the Spirit too. All you can do is set your will to allow Him to do that. So you have to choose by your will to say, okay, Lord, I can't do this. I need, excuse me, Acts 1:8, you know, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So like, I need the power of His Spirit to come into my heart and into my life, and then enable me, because I choose by my free will to die with Christ. I choose that because that's, I know that's the only way of life, because I believe Him, you know. So it's like, and then it's like, all right, do you really believe me? Well, it's kind of like the rich young ruler. Then he's like, you know, Lord, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know, honor your father and mother, and don't kill, don't do this, don't do that. And the guy's like, well, I've done all this stuff. He's like, okay, you're serious now. All right, well, let's dig a little deeper. Go sell everything that you got and then come follow me. So then he just cut straight to the core of where this guy's, that issue, that thing, that one thing, you know, that was his... And you know, so often it's like that one thing for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody's got like this one hang up.
Yeah.
This one area where it's just like, you know, the sacred cow, that one room they keep locked, you know, in their heart. And it's like with the Spirit of God, He's like, no, if you really want, I will open up every room and I will clean out everything. And you know, it's kind of like that last one that you just don't quite want to open up, but you have to go through that process, because, and see, it is a process, but it's a process that, then that's why too, it's like, it's, that is one of the benefits of really of following God in your youth. You know, people never told me this, but now I realize it. Now I'm like, when you follow God in your youth, when you follow God in your, when you're young, you just get to experience so much more of life with Him, you know, and you get to go through this process that He puts His people through, and then it's like you have so much more, if Lord willing, you know, I mean, you may get your life, you may finish your assignment and God will take you out, but Lord willing, you may, while you still have, you know, just so much of your energy and you're just springing your stuff and you can do all these things the way, and you don't have as many commitments and all, you can just experience life with Him. Whereas, you know, people that are like, oh, let me wait till I'm, you know, 50 and I've got my two kids and I've got my pension, well, you may never get the chance, you know.
I mean, take chances sometimes. I mean, sometimes, yeah, it's good to pray, but at the same time you've got to take a step of faith.
Yeah.
Go into it. You can't just, I mean, God's not going to just put something on your lap, you know. I don't know, is that the right way of thinking? That's what, well, I think.
Well, and also, you know, what can happen with Him excuse me, is that He, I've seen this, He can turn everything around in a moment.
That's true.
I mean, like in one moment, you know, your entire world can shift and go change upside down for the better or for the worse. You know? And you can go in one moment to, like Job, losing your entire family, your entire livelihood, everything that you thought you had in this world. Or you can go in one moment, like Joseph, to going from prison to to second highest ruler in the land. So it's not... It's like with God, He can change. Nebuchadnezzar, here's Nebuchadnezzar standing up on his, you know, looking out over his kingdom and talking about how great he is, and God's like, idiot, you know. I mean, before the words even finished leaving his mouth, you know, God just spoke and said, all right, you know, you think you're all that. And I mean, he's stuck walking around like an animal for the next 7 years, you know, nails growing out all long, and just getting hairy and dirty and nasty, and lost his mind. Because it's like, and then when God allowed him to come to himself, and then actually realize, but it's like, look, you know, I mean, everything. So that's part of it, is that realizing too, everything can change, and there is no security in this world. That's part of the illusion. Part of the illusion is that you the only secure place is in Christ, which is the paradox, because people think, you know, that that's, you know, what's unknown and what's unseen, and so it's like, how can you trust God? Because like, if you trust God, then you know, you may not have Christmas holidays with your family, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, but no, the truth is, the only place of secure, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you beneath my wings as a hen gathers her chicks. I mean, it's like protection. It's like he is really the only place of security and protection, period. So everybody else, they think they have something, so they think that, so Proverbs talks about how the wealth of the wealthy's cash is their tower. They think that, you know, they're safe by that. But it also talks about how that a wealthy person will pay everything he's got as a ransom for his life, you know, but nobody bugs the poor.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the poor's got, they don't have anything.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, so we do have these struggles, but part of the path that we walk with him is allowing him to take us to face each one of those. So then you can ask yourself, okay, why? You know, why? And then this is where you in the solitude of your room, in your own place, you stop and you pray and you're like, God, okay, so let's talk with forgiveness since we brought that up before. Here's me, and someone has hurt me, or some people have hurt me, or some organization has done this, whatever it is. Why am I struggling to do what you've commanded me in your word to do? And then you start wrestling with this. But what you do with that is you say, I know this isn't resolved. And because there's no peace on this issue, because this is not, and you say it, that I'm supposed to do it, so if you told me to, you're going to help me to do it, because you're going to help me by the power of your Spirit to come into alignment with your word. Just as Jesus was the Word and he became flesh, you take my flesh and you turn it into your Word. I mean, you flip the script for me. You turn me into Spirit. So, because I'm a spiritual being. So, how now, why is this not dealt with in me? And then you allow, in the presence of God, for him to show you. And oftentimes what he'll do is he'll end up showing you yourself. And it's a horrible thing to see, because you're just like, oh God, that's what's there. But you allow him to do that, because in that process of him doing that with you, there's freedom. Because if you go through that, it's like once you come through, you're like, it's like, what was it that I struggled with again? You know, I mean, like, it literally is this thing of, okay, yeah, you know that this happened, but you don't have the pain of it. Or he doesn't, you know, that goes away, because that also dies on the cross with Christ, because you've taken it to him. So say, for example, with unforgiveness, what happens is when you take it to him, he then now he can put that on the cross with Christ, and it dies with him. And then what you have is the new life in him, which is fresh and new, and it's like, it's not there anymore. Though you may remember, you know, like, but this thing isn't there. Yeah, oh, this is one of those thoughts too about just like unforgiveness, but with it, if you think about it, I mean, what unforgiveness focuses on what? It focuses on past, or what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And it obsesses about that. But God is, when Moses asked, "Who shall I say send me?" What did he say? He's I am. So God is eternal, ever present. He's not in the past. He's not in the future, He's right now. So when people are stuck in something like unforgiveness, what happens is they're stuck in a reality where God is not there. And so they're choosing to live in the temporal, they're choosing to live in the illusion rather than live in the place where God is, by their own free will. So you make a free will decision to say, God, I want to live right now. And then what's cool too is that if you allow him to do that, all of a sudden now it's like that stuff didn't happen because you are right now and I am. And so there is no past anymore. So as far as the east is from the west, he separates our sin from us. So, and you're with him right now in what he's doing right now. So it's like, but it's, and it's something too, it's like I'm learning about it. You know, I'm like, and he's kind of opening up my eyes because I had questions about this.
Goodness, that's
hard. Yeah. Hey, como estás? Welcome, welcome.
Sorry, G.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's a different night. So, we got off on a little tangent, but a cool one. Just one thing that we brought up was with unforgiveness, how... okay, do you want to tell it? No. Okay. With like an issue like unforgiveness, when people struggle with this, it's because unforgiveness focuses on what? It focuses on the past and what happened. So this is what happened. And so even when people refuse to forgive themselves, it's because, you know, I did this or I did... No, but it is that. But when God, when Moses asked, whom shall I say sent me? He's like, say, I am sent you. Not I was, not I will be. It's like, I am. Because God is eternal. He's ever-present. He's in the right now. So when people are stuck in unforgiveness, what they're stuck in is a place where God is not there. And so it's making that transition, it's making that shift from the place where God is not there to the place where God is. And so that's also a spiritual work that he does in you, so that, but you have to take it to him. And so you're like, God, all right, I am struggling with, you know, what this person did to me or what I did, you know, whatever it is. And you go through that process, and in that process of going through it, where you actually go to him and let him deal with it, let him, because he brings it all up. It's all there buried inside of you, and you know, you've like tucked it into this place and you've just like just lodged it there, and it's just like just this thing that's just corroding inside. And you allow him to dig in there and to cut that out and to bring it up, and it's painful because you have to face everything. But once you kind of come through that, he does that in you. It's just like, ha, okay. Cool. And the pain isn't there afterwards. You may have some recollection of, you know, what was there, but it's not, that's now been put to death in Christ on the cross, and now you shift into the place where he is, which is I am, which is right now. Because, and you know, okay, the other thing too, the devil is what? He's the accuser of the brethren, right? So, and what does he bring up? When he does that, when he accuses you, what does he bring up?
Blasphemy.
Always brings up your past. My dad and I were talking about this earlier today, and he said, you know, just like, there comes a point where you have to agree with the devil. Where it's like, yeah, I did that, but, you know, that's not me anymore. You know, yeah, I did that, and by the way, God took care of it, paid for it, it's covered, it's taken care of in him, and it's not me anymore. You know, I'm in right now, and right now where I'm at, I'm with God. So it's, you know, I think part of the issue that we struggle with again is we fall for the trick, you know, which there's a trick again of the devil, which is to, and it manifests in different ways, is to get you wrapped up in everything but where God is right now. So to get you either projecting into the future of, you know, what am I going to do when my kids need to go to college and I can't pay? Or, you know, so get you going all the way out there, or, you're not even married. It's like, or the other side of it, which is, you know, I can't believe I did that. You know, or I can't, you know, what was that? I knew better, I grew up better, I was raised, whatever. But it's like, but in the whole time, where are you? You're stretched in different directions, different ways, and you miss where God is right now, which is He's right now. And you, in Him, you don't have to worry about any of that. You don't have to worry about the past. You don't have to worry about the future, because the past is gone. You know, there is no past in Him. And the future, you know, it's like it's in His hands. He knows what He has for you, but it's not, you know, that we were talking earlier, but you know, that can change in a moment. For the good or for the bad. And that's really His call too. But the key is just to be in step with Him. And the only way to be in step with Him is to be in agreement with Him. And that happens right now. So just lining your life up with Him. So we're talking about causes and effects. This is part of what we start off on. But kind of got off onto a practical how this works. Because too, you know, last week when the question came up, how do you find the path, you know, and then where do you go, where are you going, and asking, seek, knock, Matthew 7:7, you know, you ask, you seek, you knock, then he who asks receives, he who seeks finds, knock and the door shall be open. So it begins with that question, it begins with that quest, it begins with that desire, but then also realizing too that there's everything that's going on, the stuff is going on. The cause is what you want to search for. Don't look at the effects, because the effects are there, but you know, what's the cause? For example, if I want to move my hand like this, okay, my hand didn't just do that by itself. Somewhere a thought had to begin, which you can't see. You don't see that thought. A thought had to begin somewhere in my mind, in my thinking, but then registered, made a decision, made a conclusion, and then manifest in, now my hand is doing this. That's the effect of it, but that's not the cause. The cause is further back. So if you start to want to deal with things that are going on in life, deal with the issues of your own mortality, deal with the issues that you're facing, deal with problems that you see all around you. You have to dig deep. And so you start to say, okay, what is the cause of this? So, family issues. Say there's family issues that are going on. And somebody's doing whatever. Okay, that's, you see the manifestations of it. What's the cause? And then you start to ask, because then it's like, because many, many times what you'll end up finding when you start looking at it is, I mean, almost always, there's a spiritual thing that's going on there. There's a war going on. That's why, too, there's such a work within the systems of the world to control your mind. So the world works so hard with the things that it has to get your mind to think a certain way, because if it can sell you down a certain line, it knows what the final effects will be, but it can also get that cause so ingrained in you that, you know, and then if people are always trying to fix the effects of it. So I'll give you an example. Go to James, Book of James. Which actually, I should have. There we go. There we go. James chapter 1. We might just read the whole chapter. So good. Here's the Bible say. All right. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Okay, consider it pure joy when you face, this is talking about the effects, right? Think about cause and effect. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth, the grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Cool. I like reading the whole chapter. It's nice. Okay. A few things. All right, let's go back to verse 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So, again, so this takes it even back one more step before even the wages of sin is death. We talked about that before, was Romans 6:23. This one says, when lust hath conceived, so this is the cause, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So you see the progression. Cause, building, snowball, effect. So it's the same thing with us. So it's like, all right, so if you start to say, and Jesus even, he said, look, unless a kernel of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains a single seed. But when it's so, when you see the hundredfold come forward, that's the effect, the result of that seed. So even when somebody is walking in life and truth, that, and people see somebody's life and they're like, oh wow, what's going on with that person? You see the effect of it, but the cause is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's this progress and this progression, but you have to also realize that there is, so you have again the two kingdoms going on. And the world and the way that it's working is working overtime to sow certain things into your life as well. Because the goal is to harvest your soul. The goal is to destroy us, because we're God's creation. And the world that's set up is hates God, hates Christ, is in darkness. So it's like, so we have a responsibility along those lines to work with the Spirit of God. And you know it too. When you belong to Him, you know when you grieve the heart of God. You know, so you do something, it's just like, ugh. You know, because you feel the effect of just your connection with Him. But then don't let that cross over into the trap of the devil, which is now this guilt and shame and all that. No, I mean, that's the other side of it. That's the other side of this. That's the trick. The goal is your connection, and the connection is established in Christ. So when you mess up, you know, the righteous fall seven times, but he gets back up again. Dust yourself off. Say, God, I'm broken. Fix me. You know, I need help. You know, I'm struggling with this. But you come to him in honesty. Because again, like the onion thing, you know, you're going past these different layers of who you are to the very core, where what you have left is Christ. So it's a commitment to that path. You know, it's a commitment to the work of Christ in you. It's a willingness to say, okay, Lord, I trust you, I really do. You take me on this and do whatever you have to. And like David said, he said, you know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, you know, than anywhere else. And, you know, I don't want to be a big shot with the wicked. I don't care about that. I would rather be in proximity to God, close to Him, as whatever it is that He would want me to be, even if it's the lowest position, wherever, but as long as it's with Him, then, you know, whatever anywhere else has or got, because there's nothing there for me. So, let me see here. So, the world, it fights against this because, again, and so you see the effects of the war of the world that comes against us. So you try to walk out life with Christ, and now all of a sudden, you know, it used to be, you know, people just left you alone, you could just go about your work and you could just do your own thing. And then when you really got serious about, you know, like walking with Him, now all of a sudden you have stuff, you know, now everything is, it's like, what's going on? You know, why? Open floor, why? Why does that start happening?
Because you're closer to God, so the enemy's trying to attack in every way possible to bring challenges.
Yeah, well, for sure. And here's something too. I don't get mad at the devil for that, because he's being a good devil. He's doing his job. He's doing exactly what God made him to do, which is, God created Lucifer and Satan, his vice president. They're in this spiritual, this demonic world is an incredible hierarchy. I mean, there's talk about military structure. they, and they're not like the military here, they don't just, no, these guys are serious.
Nothing's like the military.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, whatever. But he created them, and they do their job, and they do it incredibly well. And in the process of them doing their job, what does it do? It allows for the expression of free will, our free will, in this process. Because now, if you really want God, you know, it will cost you everything. You know, you have to go through the death of yourself in every aspect of who you are. You will face every aspect of your being that you would hide from, cover up. You will face yourself, and you'll have to die to yourself, and you'll have to die to every dream and everything that you ever had in this life. You'll go through all of this stuff, and the whole time, the entire world and the world system will come against you in that process and entice you, seek to block you, seek to crush you, seek do everything else. But there's still inside your core, there's that free will decision to, because you love him and you want to follow him, to go that way. And it's like that is the only way that this could ever be real. Because if you didn't have that, you know, God would, you'd be a robot. You know, you would be just somebody that, you know, it's like you're a merry-go-round ride. You know, you're a blow-up doll. I mean, you're just like you're whatever you are. You're just not. You have no say in the matter. It's like, have you? I use this analogy. Have you ever, like, when you were a kid and somebody had to, like, you went to some family function or what? Have you ever had somebody be with you because they were supposed to?
Yes.
You know, like to take care of you, but or to be around you because they were supposed to. It was the expectation. I mean, how does that make you feel? You know, I mean, if you really think about it, it's like this person really doesn't want to be with me. They're with me because they have to be. And it's like, I mean, and if you think about it, just even like, I mean, who would want, and then God, you know, with all eternity, it's like, he didn't want somebody that's with him, his bride, for all eternity because she's supposed to be. You know, he wants somebody that's like, that the very heart and the core of that person is in love with him to the point that it's like, no matter what, I will, you know, no matter what I have to go through, my desire is to be with him. So the loss of all things, the gain of all things, high, low, flood, water, fire, doesn't matter, you know, like the U.S. Postal Service, come rain or shine, you know, no matter what, I'm going to get through. And, you know, and then again, too, what did Jesus say? To him who overcomes. You know, the letter to the seven churches, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Every one of them, to him who overcomes. That was instruction. It was to overcome. And Jesus in John 16, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So, it's this... part of the reason why we end up facing all of this stuff, it's because, are you serious? Do you really want this? You know, is it really your desire? Because if it's not really you, you will turn back. You know, if it was like a kind of a temporal thing, it's like, okay. So that's why too, and when James even starts off this chapter and says, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith, which is faith is your trust in God, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it's like, so and what was the in Proverbs that we read right before Audrey came was that the path of the righteous, you know, it shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Oh, you see the tie between us? So you're going on this thing and you shine brighter and brighter because you go through more and more, and everything that you go through now, what you used, if you go through, if you're walking with Christ and you go through something now, or you go through something 6 months from now, 6 months from now, what is a trial for you is like a cakewalk. You know? I mean, it's just, because part of this thing for me is like things, when you trust God, there's down the line, there is, it's like, then you've seen Him faithfully, like, ah, this is nothing. You know He'll take care of you. You know He'll provide for you. You know He'll make a way out of this situation. You know He'll speak to you when He has to. You know, so you just start seeing, okay. So you, and then it's like you get tested on another level. You get tested in another area. You get, and each one of those things, again, takes you deeper and deeper, the core within where it's just Christ. So it's just peeling back another layer. It's peeling back another, and it's in that process there's also expectation, because you know it also deals with our own expectations. Because I think in the back of our minds there's this thing of, okay, if I follow God, somewhere along the way I'm going to get this. Because it is that in our heads, there's this thing like Peter. He's like
eternal life.
Well, even what's eternal life? Eternal life, it doesn't begin somewhere in the future. Jesus said, "Today is the day of salvation. He is I am." You can experience eternity now, right now. The death, all that is like just a hiccup. You just, your eternal being just, you know, sheds this earth suit that you need to exist in this reality. Because, I mean, it's like if you went to the moon, you need a moon suit to be there because you can't exist in that environment without it. But you're not bound to the moon. You're just there walking around in it. But you're inside that suit. The real you can be in connection with eternity now, though you're in your earth suit walking around doing something. So death is... there is no death for those that are in Christ Jesus. Every point unto every man is a time to die, yes. But, and after that, the judgment. There is that physical, the body dies, but the spirit doesn't, because the spirit's alive in Christ. So it's just like, so you can shift into eternity now. And that's part of the process that we go through in connecting up with Him, is He's taking us, if you continue to walk on that path, deeper and deeper within, so that you can experience life and eternal life now. You can experience the kingdom today. So it's not this thing that you, again, what's part of the trick? Get you focused on way out in the future or somewhere in the past. So if you're just always looking, because, you know, just... you know, life just sucks right now. You're just trying to make it and wait until just hopefully God will come back and make everything okay. And, you know, it's like, to Him who overcomes. You know, it's like, well, okay, you're not overcoming anything. You know? Yeah, there's sometimes you just hold on, but it's like, let me go through this. So when James, he's talking about this thing, it's like, you're there is this whole thing that you're going through, whatever it may be, let the Spirit of God do that work in you, so that, again, even there's this detachment even that takes place from it, because it's not, you realize it's just a dream. And it really doesn't affect the real you.
So when I went back on holiday this time, went to my church and you know, just with friends hanging out, and all of them like, wow, you know, you're glowing. And I was like, the only time we tell a woman she's glowing is when she's pregnant. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm like, no, you're just glowing, you're just being happy, blah blah. I was like, okay, yes, yeah, I am. And then, but during that time, like, it was like a testing period where there was a challenge that came up, and I was like, oh, Lord, no, not again. It was something similar to something I went through in the past, and I was like, and I looked back and I thought, it still hurt, it still crushed me. But then I thought, hang on, if this was me 5 years ago dealing with this, I'd just be really depressed, or I'd be, you know what I mean, really, really, truly crushed. And then even though it hurt, I was just like, okay, Lord, it's happened again. I don't know why, I don't understand, but you need to get me through this, do you know what I mean? And it was just... And it was just so bizarre, because from something that people say, oh, wow, you're glowing, and it was almost like, okay, the enemy just wanted to attack, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And then I was like, I mean, within just a few days, things just changed, and I was like, where did that come from? You know, did I misjudge? Did I, do you know what I mean? So it was just so weird, and it's true what you said, yeah, I mean, you have sometimes things from your past, like, come back to haunt you, or just, but... You just feel, I mean, even now I'm just through prayer, I'm just like dealing with it, but it's like, Lord, thank you for making who I am today, because if that was me 5 years ago, I don't think I would have completely detached from you.
Yeah.
You know? So it was just really, really bizarre. And I was like,
wow. Well, if you're in connection with the Spirit, and this means this is also a spiritual positioning with Him. So if you're in step with Him, you're in step with the flow of God's life. And this, so it's flowing through you. And if you're in step with Him like that, yeah, you're going to glow. Because, and anybody that sees you will recognize the Spirit of God flowing through you, including and those that are on the side of darkness. Because you will shine very, very bright whenever you're around them, and they will recognize you. And as soon as they recognize you, what you're like, they hate you. Because there's life in you. And people don't, they stay out of the light because their deeds are evil. They want to stay in the darkness. So now it's an attack. And see, one thing that you have to realize as well, though, is that because you are God's true kids, when they try to attack you, they're also attacking Christ in you, the hope of glory. You gotta be an idiot to try to attack God and try to attack, I mean, can you imagine, okay, imagine somebody trying to attack one of your kids, you know, if you're a parent, you would smack the heck out of those people. I mean, like, it's just, you know, because now, alright, take then the all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God, who's, I mean, like, you have to warn people. Like, I mean, He turns His angels loose. And it's like, I mean, like, He had to, when they were saying to Jesus about the cross, and He was like, look, you know, if I wanted right now, I could just call on the Father, and He sent 10 legions of angels just to get me out of this thing. But how then would the Scriptures be fulfilled? So Jesus made a free will choice to go through what He did, to die on the cross so that we could be restored to the Father. But at a moment in time, if He just said, psh, enough of this, these guys, I mean, talk about heads rolling. I mean, it's like, I mean, they would have come in and wiped out everybody. But that's Him on the cross. Now, all bets are off for them. So when they try to come against God's people, God's kids, what happens is you have divine protection that's around you, that's with you, that far supersedes anything that any one of these global presidents might try to bring to. I mean, you have spiritual protection around you that, I mean, like, you're untouchable. And you don't have to feed them either. I mean, it's just like you have this entourage that's with you all the time. And they will happily destroy the as at a moment's notice. If so, it's like when they mess with God's true kids that are walking with Him, I mean, God will fight for us. I mean, I've seen like Him like people that have tried to do stuff to me or done stuff to me, just their lives get destroyed. And I'm like, you have to pray for those people. God, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Because, and you have to intercede on their behalf, because if not, it's like he'll completely destroy them. Now, it's not necessarily a completely bad thing, because when they get stripped of their power and everything else like that, then, you know, they have an option to turn to the Father and to get right with him. And, you know, that is there. So that's their choice. They have that option then. But it's like, you know, and maybe sometimes they don't get the chance. Maybe he just completely knocks them down all the way. So, but it's like, but you realize too, it's like, okay, you're walking in his protection. You're walking in his, because again, just like our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against all this, the darkness that's behind it, all the spiritual powers that are behind it. Likewise, well, our battle, we're not warring in flesh and blood, and what's fighting for us and fighting with and through us is the kingdom of light that's behind us, and the legions of heaven, and warring angels that are backing us up. And we, and the Spirit of God will speak a command to your heart, and you will take one step in that direction, and all of these guys will go with you, you know, and knock everything out of the way. So
I think it's harder when it's a Christian, when it's like a fellow brother or sister, you think.
But also be careful, because the wheat and the tares grow together. And this was something, it was so hard for me to come to this realization, talk about the onion and going deeper and all. Because, I mean, I'm like, oh, everybody's here on Sunday. We're all praising God together. No. I mean, the parable of the wheat and the tares, where were they sown? The tares grew right next to the wheat. They're right there in the middle of the whole thing. And what did God say when the angels said, shall we go and rip these tares out? And God said, nope, leave them. Let them grow together. At the harvest, we'll separate them. So right now, when somebody's quote-unquote a Christian, and they come up to you, but they're not brethren, they're not sisters, because in your spirit, they're not. You know it. They don't speak with the voice and the connection that comes from the Spirit of God. They speak from another source. And because they speak from another source and they speak from another place, it's like, I don't have to receive that from them. So for me, it's like my circle went from this to this. It got much smaller, because I started realizing, wait a second, you know, these are not...
It really makes you think that these are the end times. I mean, it hit me all of a sudden. I mean, I obviously knew this, okay, it's yeah. The end times. But then it's like, oh, you know, it's just... Wow.
Well, things are definitely coming to a head, and it's that's why also it's just so important that for us, you just stay in step and you walk with the Father now, and you don't look for, I mean, don't get distracted with what's up with the world. Just seek the Father; he'll show you. You know, but even like. Again, you know, back to cause and effect. I mean, whatever kind of work you might do, whatever, those are just manifestations. But those are all manifestations that come from the source, where you just want to be in connection so that whatever you do has the Spirit of God just all over it, because you're flowing with him. So you just get in the right place and you're a step with what he's doing.
You know, like this job. I was telling, I was doing devotions, and I said, you know, I'm just praying that, you know, that my connection with God grows, like, and that I'm, you know, nourished and, you know, kind of like a baby in a womb, that, yeah. that I'm connected to him all the time through the umbilical cord, and, you know, nourished and all these things. As soon as I said it and finished off, you know, the lady I've been telling you about says, oh, but sometimes you have to be separated.
I think you know where she's coming from, though. Just, I mean, it's like, I mean, it's just with that person, just leave her, you know. Let I mean, you know where they're coming from, and when you realize that, just like, okay, this is you, part of it is just realizing, okay, who's on the lower side, and not, and that's a personal choice that everybody makes, and because and if they're not, then don't try to sugarcoat it for them and pretend that they are. Because then, if they're not, you just like, okay, that's where they're at, that's their choice. But as for, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's like, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's the way that we're going. And so, and also too, Jesus, he is not a religion. He never set up a religion. He never came to establish a religion. What he created was a way out. Jesus is a way. He's a path. It's a spiritual kingdom. The way is in spirit. So that is what we're on. That is what we seek. If it manifests in certain ways, fine. If it's some place where people get together on a Sunday, cool. If they're all praising God, great. Love it. If they're not, okay, then they're not. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Because he's a way. He's not a religion. So on that way, you're looking for brothers and sisters that are, have made, that, that are his. These are the ones that you will walk with. And in your walk with them, it's just like, all right, you're, then it's like, it, then it's a big adventure. God, you know, we're up for it. What is it that you'd have? You know, anything. We're cool. High, low, doesn't matter. You choose, and we'll go with it. And then it's like, then the whole thing is open up for you. Now you can actually have fun. Before that, you can't, because you're just, you keep trying to make something work, trying to make something happen in and of yourself. And it's like, what am I missing? Well, what you're missing is you're still stuck. You know, you're still stuck with yourself. You shift, allow him to be that to you, allow him to be all in all, and go on the way with him out of the trap, and then just take whatever he would bring your way. Does that make sense? So that's the shift. So yeah, we'll stop there. We've gone a little bit long tonight, but yeah.